Welcome to the Portage County Safety Council podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's safety chat.
Hi, this is Nick Coy with the Portage County Safety Council. I'm here today with Mike Thompson, the manager of the Portage County Safety Council. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Today, Mike, we're going to talk about the stages of change and how that model can be used to improve and implement new safety programs within our organization. Can you tell us a little bit about what the stages of change model is and how that model works?
Sure. To put it in its most simplest form, there are five stages in regards to adopting any new habit. The first stage is referred to as pre-contemplation. The second stage is contemplation. The third stage is preparation. The fourth stage is action. And the fifth stage is maintenance. Now, the goal of the stages of change is to identify and be able to take people through each stage of the process to the next one until a new habit is formed or the result is achieved that we need or that we're looking to achieve.
Okay, so if I work for an organization and we're getting ready to release a new safety program, let's say that we've never had a lockout tagout program, we want to put that in place now. And I know there's going to be a lot of resistance to that because maintenance has not had to deal with that in the past. How can we start to apply this model to the release of that program? For example, with the initial release of the program, we may have people in that pre-contemplation stage. How do I identify them? And then what do I do to help move them to that next stage?
Sure. Once we identify someone in the pre-contemplation stage, these are people that are in denial, they're resistant to change, right? And so they're the people that you said, hey, we're going to do this, and you start to hear them grumble. We don't need any changes. We're fine. We're safe enough. This is the way we've always done things. So that's the kind of resistance that pre-contemplation. They're a place where they're not considering change. So when we're working with someone like that, what we really want to work to achieve is awareness. Awareness is our number one goal there. Okay, we want them to have an aha moment where something clicks for them. They say, hey, look, you know, maybe the safety thing is legit, and I want to go home safe to my family every night.
So what we tie a personal aspect to that potentially?
Absolutely. Personal stories are great. They're things that stick, accidents, you know, the posters that show someone that maybe had an accident and showed that the result of that could hit home with that. Stories of even communicating near misses, you know, reporting that within your safety program of, okay, a tow motor didn't hit me, but it almost did. And just to create an awareness in the program and bring those up in our meetings, that way the person can click and be able to get and wait for that aha moment. Now, you can't make anyone click. Unfortunately, you can communicate to your blue in the face, but unfortunately, it's something that's going to have to be awakened in each person individually and more specifically within a corporate culture.
So we may have to find some individual aha moments for each person that is stuck in that pre-contemplation stage to move them up to the next stage.
Absolutely. And a tool that we use in social services is called motivational interviewing. So what I look for is an opportunity. So when I say like maybe there's an accident or a close call, I might sit that person down and say, hey, Bob, look at this. Now, what do you think you should have done differently? I don't necessarily have to tell them the answer, but I help them through a process. And then they say, you know what? Maybe I should have done A, B, and C. And you smile and say, exactly. And you create the context for the answer, but you empower them by letting them come up with the answer so they can feel like that they've came up with the answer and that choice is that we need to do something about safety.
Okay. So we get ready to roll out this lockout tagout program, and we've dealt with those in the pre-contemplation stage, which means they moved on to the next stage of this diagram called the contemplation stage. What does that look like, and how do we move them to the next stage after that?
Right. So contemplation people usually enter this stage because of a consequence. So in regards to workplace safety, let's say you're getting ready to take your lunch break, someone comes and hits a coworker with a tow motor. So everyone at the lunch break is now talking about what just happened. So that's a prime moment. So now they see the fruit of not having a better safety protocol or action plan in place. Then they say, you know what? The big question for them or the comment then what they're thinking is we probably need to do something about this. But the problem with the contemplation stage is we're still on the fence. We're not completely sold, but we see the need because we see the consequence. So when we're working with someone like this, the key thing is motivation. How do we really take it from that? Okay, you had your aha moment. You understand you need to do something about it. But now we need to really get you just to get on board.
So we might be able to do that as safety professionals by taking some of that data that we've collected from the near misses, having a presentation and allowing that information to be out to there to those individuals in the contemplation stage to allow them to understand that it's okay to move on and this is how we react to that.
Yeah, and I think the key in all this as we're talking is near misses. because we don't want to wait till someone gets hurt before we inspire or try to motivate change.
Correct. So we're collecting that data from those near miss events, and that's what we're giving to them. And then also following that up with the education piece of saying, we don't want this to become an accident. This is why we want to integrate whatever said program is that we're working towards.
Absolutely. And by doing that, you make it personal to them. And they get to the place where emotionally they believe that the organization is supporting them, cares about them, and the management's genuinely concerned about their safety, not just save another dollar.
Okay. So once we do those two things, we've gotten through pre-contemplation and contemplation, we move into this preparation stage. What does that look like, and how do we need to work as safety professionals to move on to the next stage to have this program be successful?
So the third stage is we've already made our minds up. Yes, I'm on board. We're going to do this. But I'm still a little uncomfortable because I'm not sure exactly how to do it.
So this is almost where we see a lot of resistance because we're scared of change because we don't know how to do it. It's not that we don't want the change. We just don't know how to execute the change.
Right. We might have questions like, well, how do we do it? I don't know what I'm doing. We might be uncomfortable, lack of self-confidence. This is really where education comes in. This is where most of our safety programs probably hit with the training videos and things like that. We really hit the know-how. But this, until people get into the preparation stage, a lot of times they're not fully engaged into that content. So this is the perfect time when you identify either your safety culture or your individuals that to come in. This is the right time to come in and bring in the education training piece.
So often I've seen in other organizations that I've worked for or consulted with that they roll out the education right away at the very beginning. And you have these people in pre-contemplation or contemplation stages, and they're the ones who are just zoning out, not really worried about the training because we're releasing it too early for that group, where we haven't really brought them to that stage of preparation. That's when training is most effective and we get the most bang for the buck out of that.
Yeah, one of the areas I see that most is onboarding. So we have a new hire, right? Okay. And we know the statistics for new hires are through the roof, right? So someone comes on board, we sit them down in front of a boring video, okay? They don't care. They're not even in the job floor yet. They may not even know what the job looks like yet. So we're trying to teach them about a process that's not their factory. We got a video from a third party somewhere talking about it just in general to cover our liability. But really that person probably isn't engaged. And while they may take a quiz at the end of it, we all know there's a big difference between seeing something on video and then actually applying it in practice.
Okay. So once we educate them at this preparation stage, they start to move into the action stage. And what does that look like? And what should we, once again, as safety professionals, be doing to encourage growth in this action stage?
So action is self-explanatory. This is like our safety program's in place now. People, for the most part, have some degree of compliance. Maybe we still see a few accidents or close calls. So what we do in the action stage is what the key there is evaluation. We're going to evaluate it. We're going to say, hey, this worked, but this didn't. So we're going to make some tweaks. We're going to constantly evaluate and retweet that until that actual policy becomes a standard behavior in our safety culture.
Do you think employee engagement is really important during the action stage? Instead of just the management team looking at it and tweaking things, is it more getting feedback from the end users in order to ensure that they stay engaged with this process?
Yeah, I think engagement is key at every phase, especially when you're talking evaluation. You know, if I'm a manager, who knows the machine better that they're working on than the employee running the machine? So they're going to have a perspective. I may see something as the third party observing it and coming in, but there's something about when they run the machine, they know when their fingers almost get caught, right? They know all these ins and outs that I might not see, but because due to repetition and experience, they're going to have greater insight. So that's a great key, Nick. We need to really engage, get their feedback. You know, that's a good question. Hey, you're doing good in safety, but how can we take it to the next level? How can we even improve this better? What are some things that you see or some close calls that you had, not to get you in trouble? See, a lot of employees will be afraid to tell us all the information because they're afraid they're going to get written off or, you know, violate safety policy. But create that engagement and that open policy, that open door policy where people can come and say, hey, this almost happened to me a couple of times. There's probably something we should do about this. And take that feedback from that evaluation, retweak our safety program, and just make it even better.
So once we have this action stage and we make those adjustments, now we have a fully functional new program, the lockout, tagout, forklift, whatever it is, and it's working well, those employees kind of move into the final stage, which is called the maintenance stage. What do we need to do there to ensure that this is long-lasting and doesn't just end after 6 months of work?
Yeah, good question. See, the maintenance stage is we're about there. This is becoming a new habit or a new behavior as part of our safety culture, right? So the main thing is there's a sharpen the saw. And what I've seen from my experience is the biggest thing that we deal with in the maintenance stage is complacency. Once we had a program for a while, management's not hammering it, peers aren't stressing it. It's easy just to, well, you know, if I don't completely lock out, maybe I do this one part, but I don't do this aspect of it, right? And so it's easy to get complacent and not hit every full measure and start to cut corners in order to save time or for production and things. So the key there really is to sharpen the saw and make sure that staff don't get complacent in the process and continue to feed the machine, so to speak.
So I often see that's one of the focuses I've had recently as I've consulted with some companies is talking about our aging workforce and the means that they're aging because they've been in the same facility for a long time. And complacency seems to be the high number. I'm seeing a lot of injuries with the millennials in the workplace, but I'm also seeing it with those people that have tenure there. And so the complacency sets in. What are your tips and tricks to really break that complacency to ensure that these programs are long lasting?
Well, it's same as some other injury preventive measures. For one, cross-functional training. It's easy to get complacent if we're doing the same job for 5-10 years. But if we start to move around and learn new skill sets, go into a different workspace, we begin to move staff around, that's just by itself in nature is going to help prevent some of that complacency. Some employees like GM do adopt that, whether they move around to prevent certain injuries and certain things, but also could be a key there in preventing complacency. The second thing is constant awareness. That's where I really think toolbox talks come in. Every meeting we start, let's have a 5-minute talk about safety. That way it's consciously in the forefront of their mind. A little social psych experiment, not to go on a rabbit trail,
but I will
go on one. It's real interesting. They had these students and I had them take a test and they gave them the answers to the test right next to the test. Okay.
Okay.
And, as you can imagine, that group of students, most of them cheated on the test.
Right.
But then they took this piece, and I won't get into it, what they talked about, but it pretty much said, don't cheat. And they made the students read this thing that, you know, to sum it all up, said, don't cheat. And very few of them, after reading that, actually cheated. And so they did repetitive studies on the language and different stuff of how did this impact this and that. And it came down to every time before someone took a test and even in the other variations of these experiments, which is quite interesting if you think about it, is whenever they were brought to the attention of awareness of do not do something or do something right before they would do the task, it would bring it to the forefront of their mind. And that would actually affect their decision making. So some people call this a hot decision versus a cold decision. The hot decision, of course, is the heat of the moment, the split second decision. And so what research has found is if you make a decision in the cold moment, which is before your test, in the heat of the moment when you're frustrated and going through the exam, right, you're more likely to do the right thing. So think about that for safety and toolbox talks. So we have the 5-minute toolbox talk or that 2-minute safety talk, whatever it is in our meeting, and then we send them out to go out. And as they do that, they're already thinking safety is one of the first things on the forefront of their mind. That way it never gets stale. They continue education and it's always in a cold decision moment. So in the heat of the moment and they have to make that split second decisions, whether to shut the machine down or risk getting their fingers caught in the machine, they make the right choice instead of the wrong one.
So to combat that complacency in that maintenance stage, basically job rotation is in cross-functional training is a great tool.
Right.
And then driving that continual reinforcing message about safety in the organization is going to help deal with that.
Absolutely.
All right, Mike. Well, thank you so much for talking about the stages of change. I think this is a great tool that many organizations can use to roll out new safety programs and other programs within the organization. So thank you for your time today, and we look forward to your next talk.
Thanks for having me. Be safe.
You too.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. To learn more about how your company can earn up to a 4% Ohio BWC premium rebate by becoming an active member of the Portage County Safety Council, please visit our website at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.wordpress.com. The preceding information is for entertainment purposes only. Views expressed may not reflect the views of any affiliated or sponsoring individuals or organizations. Listeners should carefully weigh information provided and seek advice from an appropriate professional before implementing. Listener discretion is advised.